Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Welcome back to another edition of the show. It's week three of the NFL season. That's right, folks. This thing is going to fly by. But the fantasy football season has taken quite the turn here with a lot of injuries in the first couple of weeks, more than we've ever seen before. One game in the books, many more to come this weekend. George Kurtz is my co-host, as always, here on FST. George, another week. Everybody's got to be dealing with something here at this point in fantasy football with the amount of injuries. I know I'm dealing with a bunch, hitting the waiver wire, hitting the trade button this week, made a trade actually in fantasy, one of my dynasty leagues as well. I guess we're always prisoners of the moment and we forget that every year has significant injuries. But I would say that because of the amount of ones that we've seen to a number of players at the skill position, everyone's probably dealing with something this week.
I would say if you're on a team and you're your starting lineup is still your starting lineup, wow, you're doing well. All right, now I've been sort of lucky, Craig. Like I said, I'm playing, 9-12 leagues, whatever it might be. I haven't been hammered, except in one league I've lost my two starting quarterbacks. That's a one quarterback league. And luckily in that league, people didn't go bananas drafting backups. So I was able to actually pick up Derek Carr this week. I have Jordan Love and Tua was my backup there, so I'm down to Carr here. But also guys like Kirk Cousins was still available there. Matthew Stafford, who I wouldn't claim anyway, was available. So was somebody else who was decent who I thought about grabbing there. So got lucky in that. So I've been lucky so far. No doubt I'm very happy about that. But it's definitely the story of the season. McCaffrey, right? Debo now, T. Higgins has been out, Cup, Nakua. You go on and on. Mostert's probably not going to play again this week, right? So it's definitely been the story of the season so far. I'm not going to tell you it's the worst season ever because, a couple of years ago, I think you and I were saying the same thing
probably,
right, with all these injuries, right? Football, it's a game of attrition. I've said this a million times. 12-team league, three teams will be eliminated because they don't pay attention. Three others because they get hurt and there's nothing you can do about it. I just want to stay away from one of those three teams that get hurt, and I'll compete with the other six teams.
Yeah, I mean, being healthy is really the key, and as George mentioned, I mean, I'm off to good starts in my leagues, but now some serious injuries, I'm dealing with those. All right, let's recap what we've seen thus far this week in terms of news, notes, and information. Thursday Night Football is officially in the books. The New York Jets took care of the New England Patriots. George and I have sort of talked about this. I think we've been in agreement that at some point New England was going to hit this moment where for the rest of the season, they look like the worst team in football. I think they're there. The Bengals have played okay. They just haven't won any games. So they're 0-2. Joe Burrow is not panicking as of yet. As George said, maybe getting a little bit healthier as the season goes on. New quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. And that is Andy Dalton. So this instant fade of their offense. Question is, do you still do that this week? And Cooper Kupp, for the time being, at least, not placed on injured reserve, but as George, you and I have talked about, you know, Sean McVay is not one of those coaches for me. You know, I think he does a great job. I just don't trust him at all. Like, I don't have any read for what this guy is going to do on any given week. And as somebody who has Cup, I don't even know what I was like sort of rooting for, George, because I do have an IR spot that I could have put Cup on, but because he's not on the IR, I got to kind of sit and wait. But naturally, I would think if we looked at this grand scheme of things, I think ending there with the Rams, I think the Rams are probably the team that's most banged up going into week three.
It's funny. I was just looking at it. I think now, yeah, Cup. If I had, I don't have Cup in any league. I am risk averse during draft, especially in the first couple of rounds. So I'm not drafting Cup. I didn't draft Nakua because he had the knee injury going in, right? I stay away from guys like this, assuming that it's close with another player. Cup and, you know, so and so, I'll go with so and so because I didn't want to take that chance there. But it's an interesting thing you bring up there. If I did have Cup, we know this is a multi-week injury. I think I would have rather him just be put on the IR and this way I can go pick somebody else up. All right, then I don't have to worry about it for 4 weeks. Because let's face it, I don't think he plays next week. And then let's just say if it giggles, he's going to play the third week. Well, you don't know how many plays he's going to play, right? Is he going to be a full-time starter? Or is he just going to be out there for, you know, to showcase himself and not really can't do anything? So that might be another dead week. I'd rather just eat the 4 weeks and find somebody else who I possibly could start. Especially with bye weeks coming in a couple of weeks as well here. So that's the way I would have looked at it for a guy who I think is going to be out multiple weeks anyway. Then I'll just put him on the IR. I understand why the Rams haven't. Or as of right now, they have it. Maybe they will at some point next week, depending on how he recovers. Because, boy, one thing we don't talk about, yeah, you lost Cup and you lost Nakua. But if you have Stafford, well, you lost him. He's useless now. Yeah, and Kyren Williams, Craig? I only have Kyren in one league. I'm in the Scott Fishbowl. I have to start him because, who has the depth at running back not to? But I did look. I'm like, do I really want to start Zeke over Kyren? That'd be my choice, starting Zeke Elliott over Kyren. Because I don't expect – I mean, come on, Craig. If you're the 49ers, what are you playing, 10, 11, 14, 15 men in the box? Everybody goes in the box to stop Kyren. Force Matthew to throw to Robinson, Parkinson, Johnson, guys that nobody even knows.
That's true. Yeah, no, they're really – but again, you know, San Francisco, not the healthiest of teams either, as George mentioned. Deebo Samuel going to miss this week. We know McCaffrey is out. And there's been some speculation on the practice reports with George Kittle. We'll see if he ends up suiting up this coming Sunday. But let's go back to the Thursday night game real quick. George, the Jets defeat New England Patriots, 24-3. A game where Breece Hall, somebody like myself, people who have Breece Hall, got pretty much exactly what the scoring predicted for him this week. So that was a solid week. Aaron Rodgers at this point, not really startable. But a dominant defensive performance. And I think on the flip side, George, you really can't be starting anyone on New England. Like these performances, for example, the one that we saw on Thursday night, I think this is more of an indication as to what we're going to see from the Patriots moving forward.
I agree. All right. I think week one, week two, whatever you want to call it, was an aberration for New England. Sort of like the bad team got off to a hot start, but they're a bad team. All right, we know there's not much here. Now, they did announce on Friday, as far as New England, that Brissett is still going to be the starter, which makes perfect sense because would you want Drake May making his first career start in San Fran? That's who they play next week. All right, so I wouldn't want that either. So we'll see when they're going to, when May's going to come along. He is going to start eventually, but I would agree in San Fran, probably not where you want the rookie quarterback to start. For New England, this is a lost season. All right, we know that. All right, so you don't start him until you feel he's ready to start. You don't want to do a Bryce Young situation where, and you just burn this kid out. It's not going to work out. And he has to move on here. So we'll see when that situation is, whether it's week four, week eight, week 10, whatever it might be here. But the bottom line is this, Craig. You already said it. There's no one on this team. I mean, the offensive line is, you don't have any receivers. I mean, listen, Douglas is nice. I'm sure Douglas and Polk are nice guys, but they're not top flight wide receivers. Your tight end, Henry, he's a volume guy, catch some balls, but we're not talking a game breaker here. New England has a lot of work to do on offense.
Yeah, and again, give credit to Gerard Mayo thus far. They've looked a lot better than people thought. Should we give credit to Dave Canales? I don't know that he made this move, George. It was really weird earlier in the week. Canales said that Bryce Young was his quarterback, and then the next day came back and said he's not. I'm going to guess somebody above him told him it's time to make a move at quarterback. Now, bringing in Andy Dalton, for some reason, George, the community seems to think that this is like an upgrade over Bryce Young. I'm here to tell you it may be, but this is like basically going from an F to a D. Like, I don't understand what's going on here. Andy Dalton's been around longer than Sports Grid, been around longer than our producer Sam's been alive. and the guy can't move. Is he going to turn into Joe Flacco from last year? I mean, I guess that's what they're hoping.
Well, technically, they're not lying. It is an upgrade, right? He can't be any worse than Young. Will he make Thielen more usable? Yeah, I think he will. You know, John, sure. Yeah, more usable. I don't think I'm dying to start these guys in fantasy, but they'll be more usable. So sure, he's an upgrade. Is he the answer? No. All right, they're not winning any games with Andy Dalton. He's not going to be the, he's going to save the season. No, the season's done. It was probably done coming in anyway. I found it weird as far as Canales is concerned, by the way, because when you hired him, would you hire a guy that you thought could fix Young, yet you gave him a whole two games? And then you said, nope, not going to work. This whole situation is strange.
Yeah. Bengals are 0-2. I would think a turnaround is coming, right?
Listen, I think they wish they would have played in week one like they did in week two. Just reverse it. They'd be 1-1. They'd be fine. They'll be fine. They're going to beat the snot out of Washington on Monday night.
Yeah, I don't think so. I really like Washington a lot. They're playing good football. Maybe George and I disagree on that game. All right, let's take a quick time out on Fantasy Sports Today. Up next, we recap the fantasy implications from Thursday night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I think what George was trying to say about 5 minutes ago is that if you played any Patriots on Thursday night, it's your own fault. I think that's probably a fair assessment. They really just don't have a ton of players to start in fantasy outside of their running back, and he didn't even look good. But on the Jets side, yeah, I mean, there were some options. Aaron Rodgers, George with his best game as a Jet, which isn't saying much, but he's only played two and a third or a quarter or a play. 281 yards, 18 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. And that stat line to me, George, is exactly what I think that he's going to be doing the rest of the season. I think that's a very fair bar for you to set if you're starting Rodgers. I can't imagine you are in a 12-team league, but 2 quarterbacks, I think that is the line.
You know, and those numbers, keep in mind, I think you're right, by the way, that's the line you're looking at. But those numbers probably would have been better if the game was closer. Right? He didn't need to really do much in the fourth quarter except kill the clock and get out of there. Listen, I do have Aaron Rodgers in 2 leagues. They are both super flex leagues. He's my quarterback 3 in both leagues, and I did not start him last night. I just thought he would be a little bit tougher matchup here. So we ended up getting, I think, if you throw 6 points for a touchdown pass, I think it was 24 points. So it was a good night. I'm probably going to regret that. You know, I wish I would have. I have Geno Smith for him in 1 league, and I think I decided to go with Trevor Lawrence for him in another league, looking for upside there. Definitely going to regret the Trevor Lawrence one. The Geno Smith, we'll see. I think Geno's been good. But, you know, Rodgers is what he is. You know, he looked really good moving last night, Craig, right? He scrambled a couple of times. Not that you're looking for that in fantasy. I'm just talking about as far as the Achilles. He can move, which is good to see here. The little pushing thing with Saleh on Thursday was interesting. He pushed him away. Listen, the guy's a jerk. I don't think there's any much doubt about that. But he can still play football. He's still got zip on those throws here. We'll see how the Jets rebound here. But I think the Jets, once again, so the reverse of the Patriots, had 1 bad week. Probably got lucky last week with the W there, thanks to some mistakes by Tennessee and Will Levis. But other than that, the Jets may end up being the team we thought they were going to be. Little Dennis Green for you.
Yep, hanging in there. I think that's the mantra for them, at least for the time being. All right, so the Patriots now have 10 days, George, until less than that now that the game is in the rearview mirror, but about 10 days till their next game. Drake May got in the game on Thursday night. Jacoby Brissett, we know that he's on borrowed time. I mean, look, he could be worth a pickup, but it's still the New England offense. Dynasty leagues, you just stash them and wait for next season. That would be my estimation. I mean, George, if I had to take a shot at this thing, my guess is you can't really – I mean, maybe you can sit Brissett, but he's played well enough. I think he's earned another start. But if New England's sitting on that 3 like they were against the Jets at the halfway point of any game, I think that's when the change will be made. So I think we're coming to the end of Jacoby Brissett starting.
Oh, I think so as well. Like I said, I think Brissett will start week 3 against – because it's San Fran. If they were playing a weaker opponent, we might be having a different conversation. Then week 4, they got 3 straight home – well, 2 straight. Well, depends on how you look at it. They play Miami, Houston, and that Jacksonville game is technically a home game, but that's in London. Or actually, it's overseas. I know they're playing in London, Germany, the moon, wherever they're going to play this year. So it's overseas somewhere there. I normally teams like to start the rookie quarterback at home, friendlier. Miami, not the greatest defense. They're not going to have Tua. It'll be Skylar Thompson or Huntley, whoever it might be. You know, so that could be friendlier. Houston also, once again, not the greatest defense. Not that you gotta, I don't think you'll win either game here. I don't know if you'd start them in London because you'll be a shorter practice week. And then after that, you get the Jets, who you probably want to avoid. Then you get two road games. So yeah, there's not a perfect spot here. But bottom line is also this. Craig, I don't think Brissett last the season physically. He got hammered last night. You know, and it was I don't think he'd play 17 games anyway. I wonder if it's going to be in Miami against Miami in week four. If that's when it's going to be. Or I said during that stretch, Miami or Houston, week four or week five.
Yeah, and we sort of knew this going in that their offensive line wasn't very good. Okay, so projected fantasy points, even though the lines were a little bit strange, Garrett Wilson, 5 catches, 33 yards, and a touchdown. Maybe a little bit less than what you wanted, but okay, you'll take it. Breece Hall, his projected fantasy points, 18. What did he get? 18. So you'll sort of take it. And then finally, Antonio Gibson got himself into the game with Ramondre Stevenson a little bit banged up. I don't know if I'm still buying on Antonio Gibson. It's been a number of years with very little production. So if you have Breece Hall, you're kind of like, okay, that's what I wanted. If you have Garrett Wilson, you're like, all right, maybe not exactly what I wanted, but good enough. And I just don't think there were huge fantasy disappointments out of that game last night. It was pretty much exactly what you wanted.
I don't know if I would put exactly what I wanted. I think, you know, if you didn't know the score and how the game was played, okay, you'll take it. You know, it was a tough defensive game, you know, New England tough defense. By watching the game, though, I think you're annoyed. Once again, it looks like Rodgers has eyes for Lazard. That's annoying. You know, if you're a Garrett Wilson, Chris, this is your worry going in, right? New quarterback. I know they sort of worked together last year, but they really didn't. You know, new quarterback going in. Who's he going to be for? It looks like to be Lazard because that's his guy. That's his boy, right? That sort of thing here. And there's nothing wrong with Hall, but Allen's getting a lot of play, more than you would like.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why Hall was a first-round pick is because he was the guy, right? There was no one to worry about here. Now Hall is sort of like every other running back. You know, all his most running backs. Now you're part of a system, part of a combo, part of a duo, timeshare. You know, you may be the bigger part of that timeshare, but it's still a timeshare. You're not getting the points you like. Like, you'll take it because of the final points on the tall, like I said, the opponent you played here. But you're probably not thrilled if you watch the game and realize, oh, I'm losing all these points to Allen. I'm losing these points to Lazard. Not to mention Conklin had a big game. You know, Mike Williams gets in there. So as a Wilson, somebody who has Wilson in a league or two, I'll take it because I didn't expect much from him last night. But I'm still a little concerned here. I still want to wait. I'm waiting for that breakout. You know, when is that going to come where he's the guy that bottom first round, top second round pick?
Yeah. And look, there's still, you know, people forget there's still so much time remaining in the fantasy football season. And, you know, again, the Jets are not a juggernaut of a fantasy offense. But, I mean, George makes a fair point. You probably wanted 5 more points. I think that's fair to say from Garrett Wilson. So you ended up getting 5 less. You just have to hope your opponent, who you're playing against, gets, you know, one of their players gets a few less points. And in terms of Breece Hall, pretty much what you paid for there with his 18 points. But, you know, Braylon Allen is going to play. He's going to play a little bit. So a potential handcuff for those of you who were playing in leagues with Hall. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to dive into some potential replacements. Let's say you have Tua Tagovailoa. You were looking for a new quarterback on the waiver wire, but Tua is going to be out. We'll see if we can come up with some options next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sometimes you have quarterback issues early in a season. The good news is the Packers are going to get back Jordan Love very soon. So if you drafted him, there's a chance you could be able to play him on Sunday. Just got to keep an eye on that. Dolphins lost Tua Tagovailoa. He is going to the injured list, and in all likelihood, probably not going to start Skylar Thompson. So taking a look at some backup quarterbacks, potentially maybe somebody to add and stash in a 12-team league or absolute starters in 2 quarterback leagues. And George, let's start off with Derek Carr of the New Orleans Saints, who is off to one of the best starts of his career. He's been fantastic. Over 400 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. And yet the Saints are only 2.5-point favorites against the Eagles this week. I mean, it sort of tells you, you know, when I look at odds like that, it sort of tells you there's still a lot of non-belief in what the Saints are doing. Now, I don't think we're asking Carr to be vintage Drew Brees or anything like that. But, you know, he has connected, I want to be clear here, with Rashid Shaheed on two monster bomb touchdowns, okay? And you don't want to take those away. But the question is, will anybody, George, be able to take those away? Because this guy, through a few games, looks like Tyreek Hill on Miami.
Well, first off, I want to thank our producer, Sam Yarnell, for, I guess, waiting a couple of segments before trolling me about Derek Carr and the Cowboys. I appreciate that very much. That went so well last week. Listen, quarterback is a little tough because, you know, Allen, Jackson, Hurts, Mahomes, Burrow, Murray, Stroud. I mean, people are still going to believe in Richardson, Purdy. I just wanted to just name 10. So we're in a 10-team league. I mean, where does Carr fit in? 12-team league? Okay, he's probably still in that 10 to 14 range there. Should he be started right now? Absolutely. The man's hot. No one has really caught up this Clint Kubiak offense, right? This is not the New Orleans Saints offense of old. All right, this is not that. This is a legitimate passing offense here. Passing is down throughout the NFL, with the exception of a couple of teams, one being New England, one being the Raiders, another team or two. So it's just maybe it's a different age. Maybe we're going back to the 70s and 80s football where we run the ball all the time, kill clock, keep the defense off the field, that sort of thing. But New Orleans isn't buying that. And you're right, Shaheed is – right now he can be a league winner. He's been that good. It's week three. All right, I do think he'll balance out here. But right now he's been that good a player here where once again, if he's even, he's leaving. Ain't no one catching up with him. But Carr is a definite start. I mentioned, you know, I have Jordan Love in the league. I had Tua in that league as well, both out. I just claimed Derek Carr yesterday. And, you know, you mentioned Love. Even if Love plays this week, I am still starting Carr over him. I think it's another interesting conversation. I wouldn't trust Love. All right, he's playing, Tennessee. Not a great matchup for him. You know, they can play defense here. And I don't know if it's going to last the whole game or it's going to be run-centric game. They're not going to need to score a lot of points against Tennessee, I wouldn't think. So, yeah, I would start Carr over Love pretty easily. I'm not saying for the rest of the season, but this week.
Fair enough. All right. Now, the question is, would you add any of these players as a second quarterback or start in a two-quarterback league? Because I think, as George illustrated, Carr's probably the only one that you would start within the top 10. But outside the top 10, you have Sam Darnold of the Minnesota Vikings, who is no stranger to good starts. He's off to another one, playing really good football. And you also have Geno Smith. These two quarterbacks, George, both with pretty decent matchups this week. Smith in particular, going up against Miami. Smith was great last week. The only question is, will the Dolphins be able to, you know, do a little back and forth with Seattle this week with Skylar Thompson there? If not, this could be a Charbonnet game and a lot of running.
I think Geno Smith is vastly underrated, by the way. All right. I've got him in a couple of leagues as my quarterback too in super flex leagues here. So I'm a fan. I like the receiving core, DK Metcalf, Lockett, slow start, questionable. Make sure of him. JSN's been really good as well. You sort of mentioned there. I don't expect Kenneth Walker to play. Would be actually shocked if he did here. So it would be a heavy Charbonnet game. The one worry for me is that Seattle does get up and they don't need to do much in the second half because Skylar Thompson can't do anything. All right, and this is like, you know, it's 20-3 or something like that. That's my one worry here, but I'm in on Geno Smith. We met the Sam Darnold. If JJ is playing, and he says he is, you know, and I think Justin Jefferson will play here, yeah, I'm going to be starting Sam Darnold as well here. He's not quite a quarterback one. Once again, he's sort of in the Carr range as far as rankings for this week. Carr, you put Geno Smith in here as well, in about that 10 to 14 to 15 range here. Bottom quarterback one, top quarterback two.
Yep. And finally, Gardner Minshew of the Las Vegas Raiders. Look at this. Over 500 passing yards through two games. Maybe midseason, this doesn't look like a big number, but George, it is. I mean, Minshew has a nice matchup this week, you would think, against Carolina, but this is the season of you would think that is not true. It's usually the opposite way.
And you sort of want Andy Dalton to play well, right? Keep the score closer. He has to throw in the second half here. Yeah, well, Gardner Minshew has been better than expected so far this season, especially for fantasy owners.
All right, we'll be right back. Speaking of Rashid Shaheed, we'll dive into his production next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, as George mentioned earlier in the show, look, we still have a long way to go, but if you have Rashid Shaheed on your fantasy team and you started him both weeks, I'm going to guess you're 2-0 unless something really went sideways for you. Otherwise, he is, he only caught really two really big passes, but he's being targeted a lot. He certainly feels like he's part of the old Saints regime. Remember that, George, when they were throwing down the field to Devery Henderson and Colston and Joe Horn, right? Like, it just didn't matter. They would just, Breeze would just chuck it up and somebody would be under it and run for a touchdown. Saints have not had this kind of weapon in a while. He's 63% owned in fantasy leagues and probably a lot less started in fantasy leagues. But I think he's a must add. And I think at this point with the injuries in the NFL, he's probably a must start.
I mean, I think, Sam told us he's about 37% owned. That's 37% available. That's amazing to me. If most leagues, you start three wide receivers, plus you got a flex, plus your bench, as you mentioned, all the injuries, and no one's picking this guy up. I don't get it. All right, now I have him as my wide receiver two. Not even a wide receiver three or a flex play. He's a wide receiver two. And keep in mind, he's putting up all these numbers, and the Saints haven't even had to play in the second half of either game. All right, they blew out Carolina. They blew out Dallas. All right, so what would his numbers be like if these games were closer, when they were still throwing the ball in the second half, not just trying to get out with a win and move on to next week? So, yeah, Shaheed's a pickup. Listen, do I think he's going to be a wide receiver two all season long? Probably not. All right, probably not, but I think he'll be playable. I think he'll be usable. I don't think he's going to fall if you're off the table. You're not going to want to. I mean, I had him on my team last year when he was so deeper leagues, but you get my point here. So, yeah, Shaheed is a must-add.
All right, so the next two receivers are really interesting. One, because I think that we may have to change the perception of what we think of him. And then the second one, just because of injuries, picked up in virtually every league. So this is going to be a low number. We'll start off with the Chargers, Quentin Johnson. Now, Justin Herbert's still questionable for Sunday. Keep in mind, he's expected to play, but very limited practice. People forget Quentin Johnson basically was one of the best receivers in all of college football, took his team to the college football playoff and almost a championship. He's already got two touchdowns. I think Jim Harbaugh sees this. For whatever reason, Brandon Staley couldn't get him going. But this was the, by default, wide receiver conversation, George, which is, by default, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams are gone. Who's going to be the guy? We discussed it. We brought up different names. Palmer was one of them. It's obvious to me that even with a new coaching regime, they want to see Quentin Johnston get the ball more. I just don't think they're ever going to be throwing the ball nearly as much as they were with Staley. He's 24% rostered. For me, George, he's a pickup. I don't know that he's a start, but I would like to see the progression over him over the course of the season.
I would probably agree with you on all counts, but I would need to know who you're releasing for him. You know, that's sort of, where Shaheed has to be on your team, or you have to have a worse player than Shaheed. Quentin Johnson, I probably need to know who you're releasing, because I don't know. I think the player himself is fine, but we know the offense isn't going to throw the ball down the field. Herbert, another injury, which is just annoying. Same foot he had to plant the fasciitis, by the way. So that's somewhat concerning. I think he plays this week, but still, I don't know how he's going to drop back. Can he scramble now to get extra time here to find people down the field here, that sort of thing? And I'm certainly going to be picking up Johnson. You're not starting him this week. All right, that game, Chargers, Steelers. All right, that's going to be old-time football, 13-10, 14-10 game. Just boring. So you're not starting this week anyway.
Now, another, I think, pickup for this week, if you have Debo or you have Cooper Kupp, I think Juwan Jennings is a really good option. I'm not completely sold, George, that Brandon Ayuk is just going to absorb all of the catches. Now, George Kittle's status would certainly give Jennings now a double bump, I would say, if he didn't play on Sunday. The Kittle thing is a little bizarre, and maybe you're saying, well, Craig, they play different positions. What does it matter? I think it does. Like, I think that Jennings, George, if Kittle is out for whatever reason, I think he becomes a must start for the San Francisco 49ers. I think he's going to get a lot of targets, a lot of catches. We saw how well he played in the Super Bowl, too. But if Kittle is in there, I still think he's good, but I don't feel as confident inserting him into the lineup this week.
Boy, it's like you guys have read my waiver wire pickups this week. I grabbed Jennings in a couple of leagues. Same thing. Even if Kittle plays and Ayuk is back to Ayuk, there's supposed to need to be go around here. It's not all going to go to Ayuk. And the Rams are going to try and take Ayuk out of the game. Make no mistake about that. They're going to want to force anybody but Ayuk to beat them in the passing game. Makes perfect sense here. And if Kittle plays, which is iffy, I don't know if he's going to be anywhere near full strength. Got the hamstring problem. Does that heal in a day? The next 24 hours? 32 hours? Whenever the game starts here, that's going to heal? I don't think so. So I don't think he'll get his full complement of snaps anyway. I think Jennings is a nice pickup here. This is not an unknown guy. As you said, he had a good playoffs last year. Saved their bacon, actually. They may have not have gone as far as they did without him. So, yeah, I'm a Jennings guy. I think he can be a good player for them, a good solid player. I think he'll put up good solid numbers. Have him as a wide receiver 3.
All right. Now, a couple of wide receivers that are absolutely still on the waiver wire and maybe still should be left there, George. Just depends on how you feel about it. Jalen Naylor of the Minnesota Vikings has been seeing some extended time, of course, without one of their wide receivers playing. So the question is Naylor just someone that had good fortune because of an injury, or will he play a lot more? The same could be said for Jordan Whittington, and I did watch Whittington play a little bit last week, George, and I think he's going to be in that slot spot for the Rams. So what I would say here is I don't think I would start or even pick up either, but if you needed to pick one and you needed 8 points, I think Jordan Whittington on the Rams is going to get you those 4 catches and 40 yards this week.
No Jordan Addison, right? He's out. I'd rather have Naylor. I think it's almost an easier choice. I think they both probably get your 8 points, by the way. So I guess, you know, I don't think you can go wrong here. But Addison's out here. JJ is going to play. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game in Minnesota against Houston. So I think the opportunities will be there. Aaron Jones is banged up as well. So it may be all rely on Donald on the passing game here. So I like Naylor a bunch for this week. Tell you the truth, both these guys are more bye-week fillers for me, you know, and under normal circumstances. But because of all the injuries, this is why we're talking about them. All right, then I think, like I said, I think Naylor has the higher upside. I think that's also a part of this. Let's face it, I don't know if the Rams are scoring points this week. You know, I mean, if everything goes right, maybe they get 2 touchdowns. I think that's asking a lot to get those 2 touchdowns with what they have left here. So I think Whittington will get your 8 points if that's what you're looking for, but I would much rather have the higher upside in Naylor, who has a healthy Justin Jefferson. Even if Jones is out, they have Chandler, who's played well here. I think Minnesota's going to score a bunch of points here. Higher upside for Naylor for me.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. I'm gonna go with the other one. I'm going to go with the guy in the Rams just because we have not mentioned a Rams receiver to play. I mean, it is still Stafford, George. I mean, he's going to throw for 200 yards. They're not going to Tyler Higbee. I've played the Higbee game now for how many years? 3, 4? I mean, it's just not happening. Gerald Everett, he's long gone. They got it. I mean, this guy Robinson, he's no good. I mean, they have to have someone. So, when Cup went out, because I was, you know, I have Cup. So when Cup went out, I'm like, okay, let me see who's going to be the guy. And it was this guy Whittington, man. It was like over the middle, little catches, catch and turn. Reminds me of Renfro. Remember him on the Raiders? I don't even know if he's still there. Hunter Renfro. Reminds me a little bit of him. That kind of wide receiver. Renfro?
Really want to trade him. Where did he end up?
He's still in the league? I thought he was pretty looking. Good.
He's a free agent. He's not in the league.
Wow.
That's surprising. They tried to trade him, I know, during the offseason. I guess that didn't work out. He is still available. He is a free agent. Sorry, Hunter. I suppose your name is ROW, not ROE, which always throws me off there. But he was certainly, you know, that Wes Welker-like guy, right? The little slot guy who gets open, gets a few yards. And I guess that's not needed anymore. Surprising that he's still a free agent. He's not that old either.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised he's still out there. You know who else I'm surprised is still out there? Anders Carlson. Anders Carlson, what, nobody signs his kicker? I mean, Gano got hurt. Sign Anders Carlson, man. Bring him in. That guy can kick.
Want to try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
What's he doing? Sitting on the couch?
think Green Bay missed a couple of kicks last week.
That's an inside joke. Nobody gets it. Everyone's like, this show is terrible on Sports Grid. They're talking about Anders Carlson. It's an inside joke. We'll get back to mainstream.
It's funny if you know it.
And if not, it's not.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to have a fun conversation of a little buy low, sell high. We'll focus in on the running back position. Maybe these are targets for trade. Maybe start or sit, but George and I will dive right in. Let's start off with the Indianapolis Colts. Jonathan Taylor has definitely looked like he's going to recapture the glory of years past. He already has 151 rushing yards through a couple of games. He has one touchdown, but I think the key for me is that he looks good. But I think you probably still would be considering him a buy low just because his numbers haven't looked like what they did 2 years ago when he was the number one overall pick in fantasy football. So I guess you kind of see where I'm coming from this. I think he's going to be good. I definitely would be buying low on him. And all things considered, 151 rushing yards is not great through two games, but it's also not a disaster. I think this is going to pick up as time goes. Anthony Richardson has not looked good.
I don't have Taylor in any league, and that's not because I didn't want him, by the way. It's because I made a concerted effort to take wide receivers because, hey, the NFL is a passing league. And, of course, now they're running the ball all the time now. So I have no problem with Jonathan Taylor. All right, listen, anybody in the league I play in, you want to trade Jonathan Taylor, you give me a call, a text, Pony Express, I mean email. I'll take Taylor. I will gladly take Taylor, okay? I don't have any issue with that. By the way, what'd you say? What was your last little word there? Anthony Richardson hasn't even played well yet. Wait until he does, and he backs those safeties off a little bit. Even more room for Taylor. Yeah, I'm a Taylor guy. I wish, like I said, I didn't make a concerted effort not to get him. I just took wide receivers in the first round. I would take the Amon St. Browns or Chases, sure. CeeDee Lambs, Jefferson, that sort of thing.
Now, in every fantasy article that you're going to read online this week that does something like we're doing right here, they're going to list this player as a sell high. That is J.K. Dobbins of the Los Angeles Chargers. And you know what? I'm going to take the opposite here of this approach, George, and I'll tell you why. It isn't necessarily about Dobbins. I think the secret sauce for Jim Harbaugh is out. I think that he is going to try and run this offense exactly like they did at Michigan, especially over the last couple of years with J.J. McCarthy, which is stay in the game, hang around. When you need McCarthy to throw it down the field, do it. But otherwise, you run the bleep out of all of your running backs. And he is, he must feel confident in Dobbins running the ball. And George, I know you're going to say that health is going to be a concern. I think that's a fair assessment with J.K. Dobbins. But barring that, I think his touches are just going to continue to come. And they're not even using Gus Edwards almost at all.
Now, I agree with everything you said, actually. Everything you said. With the exception of I would trade him if I could. I've got him in a couple of leagues. And listen, I love what he's doing for me. But what did you say in there? Health. That's the one worry about him, right? I mean, last year played one game. The year before that played eight. The year before that played 15. He's only been in the league 4 years. Health seems to be an issue here. Now, as far as the sell high thing, I don't think LaDainian Tomlinson in his prime would have a good week this week against the Steelers, all right? I think they're going to shut down that run game. And so this will be the week to trade. You want to trade him now, all right? And the next, what, I guess before your roster locks tonight at some point or tomorrow right. Before game day, because I don't expect a good numbers from him. It won't really be his fault. This is the way the game's going to be played, all right? He may only rush for, 48 yards, a couple of catches there. Maybe he doesn't get in the end zone, so he gets single-digit fantasy points. It doesn't mean he's not going to play well next week. It's just this is a bad week for him. So as far as sell high, now would be the time. But I'm not giving him away. Like I said, I've got him in a couple of leagues. I'll eat it this week. You know, and by the way, you didn't draft him as your running back one, maybe not even as your running back two. So you don't even have to start him this week, theoretically, right? He could be your running back three, start somebody else this week, which I have no problem doing. Unfortunately, in those leagues, I have some injury problems, so I can't. So I have to start him here. But as I said, according to a segment here, he would be a sell high for me right now, but probably next week, not so much.
Yeah, no, I just think that they're going to run with the Chargers. It's hard to envision a Chargers power running team. But I think we're there with the Chargers this season. All right, another possibility of a buy low, although Detroit thought that, the Bears think that, should we think that at this point with DeAndre Swift, George? I mean, 48 rushing yards, 24 receiving yards, third organization in football. This guy looks exactly like he did at the end of the year last year where he couldn't run at all. You know, with Philadelphia, I understand they had the opportunity to get Saquon, and so that's why they punted DeAndre Swift. I'm a little stunned here, man. I saw him play at the University of Georgia. I thought he was going to be a superstar, George, so I'm wrong. But I don't know. I feel like the Bears running back situation may be an opportunity to grab somebody else right now and take advantage for down the line.
I thought Detroit made a mistake when they moved on from him. I thought Philadelphia was going to be a great place for him to end up. You know, now Chicago, okay. You know, is he just a Jag? You know, just another guy. I'm surprised his career hasn't been better. I am. Am I dying to get us? I'm not. If I have him, I'll try and sell him. What am I going to get back for him? All right, yeah. Then I don't want him, by the way. I'm not acquiring him. You'd have to get for a ham sandwich? I don't even like ham. Give me a roast beef sandwich. Okay. Yeah, we'll
chicken talk parm? There.
Oh, chicken parm. We're there. Well, that's the upper echelon. Okay. Another inside joke.
I know you.
But anybody who knows me, any of them knows me and my chicken, my love for chicken parm. But yeah, now Swift, what am I hoping for, Craig? I mean, there's no upside here. He's a Jag to me. It's another guy here, running back three for me this week.
Just another parm. All right, now let's
go. No such thing. No such thing.
Just another parm. All right, let's go to James Conner of the annual visit to James Conner being a sell high on our board here. Here we are again with the Arizona Cardinals. Was it 2 years ago where he scored a billion touchdowns? And he just was incredible in fantasy. So for me, I don't know if I'm necessarily selling high. And the other player, too, let's get into is Jordan Mason. I mean, this guy is going to win your league until CMC comes back. I don't think I could sell high on him either. I think both players I'm going to keep. I don't think you'll have 10 better options than either of these running backs.
I'm not trading Connor. All right. The man scores touchdowns. And this offense is going to score touchdowns. This is what they do. All right. Kyler Murray's back. This offense can cook. Murray, McBride, Harrison, Connor. It's a good offense here. As for Mason, I can talk about it. You know, if you want to come talk to me, but if I'm a McCaffrey owner, he's not going anywhere. I told him McCaffrey. Even when McCaffrey comes back, I want to make sure he's back healthy here. Yep. You said this guy could be a league winner depending on how long CMC is out for.
Definitely so. All right, bold predictions coming up next here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll hit on King Henry next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. As we wrap up this first hour of the show, it's now bold prediction time here on FST. George has a number of them, and boy, they include, it looks like, a few running backs here. Some really bold predictions with the quarterback here. I don't know about this one, but anyway, George, take it away here.
All right, we'll get to that quarterback later on here. Our first Pro Bowl prediction, I may be the Cowboy fan here, but they cannot stop the run. Right, they've had all sorts of issues here. Another defensive tackle, Jordan Phillips, went down this week for Dallas. So the interior of that line is poor, to say the least. This should play well for Derrick Henry of the Baltimore Ravens. I know Todd Monken, we get on this guy, the offensive coordinator, that he doesn't run the ball enough or doesn't game plan enough, didn't run the ball at all against the Kansas City. Not worried. I think Derrick Henry has a big game here. Over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. Close to a must-win game in September, as you're going to get. They do not want to go 0-3. Derrick Henry, over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. Number two is just, hey, we'll play the game of elimination here. All right, there is no Deebo Samuel. I do not expect George Kittle to play in this game, or he won't play a full complement of snaps even if he does get in the game. I think it's a Jordan Mason game to save the leads. The Rams have no offense. All right, no Nakua, he's on IR. No Cooper Kupp, not on IR yet. We'll see what happens next week here. I think the Niners know, hey, let's just get a W here and get out of Dodge and try and get healthier as the season rolls along here. They're going to feed Mason the ball a lot. He's going to get 30 touches. I'm not saying 30 rushing attempts, but 30 touches between rushing and receiving. At least one score. Actually, I think he'll probably get in the end zone twice here. I think he's going to have a monster game this week because I think the 49ers need him to have a monster game this week as they may have trouble moving the ball themselves. our third bold prediction. Once again, picking on teams that are hurt. All right, no Tua Tagovailoa for the Miami Dolphins. Skylar Thompson, it's probably unfair to judge what he did in the Thursday night game against Buffalo. You come in during game, it's just rough there. And the game was a whitewash anyway. But he looked bad. And I don't know how much better he's going to look with full weeks of practice here. I think Seattle is going to have this game in hand by the second half. And they're going to have Zach Charbonneau just go bananas. Once again, giving him the ball 20-plus times here. I think he's going to have a big game on the ground here. Maybe get a couple of catches. I think he gets in the end zone at least once in a game that Seattle controls from the beginning here. Like I said, this is a game where I think Seattle's a little bit of an underrated team. Not a great team, but an underrated team. But Miami, without Tua, without a legitimate quarterback, is going to have all sorts of problems moving the football throughout this contest, which will give the Seattle a great chance to control the football. No Kenneth Walker. I don't expect Kenneth Walker to play. He's got the oblique injury, so that's in it as well. Now, Craig and I might disagree on this, the outcome of this game here. The Washington Commanders have one of the worst secondaries, if not the worst, in football. Joe Burrow looked good last week, right? He looked good throwing the ball against Kansas City. They didn't win, but Burrow looked good. I think this is a big – I always wanted to put Ja'Marr Chase in this here as well. I didn't think Ja'Marr Chase – I didn't think there was anything I could put here that would make Ja'Marr Chase bold enough here. What am I going to put, 200 yards and 3 touchdowns? Thought about it. But I think Ja'Marr Chase, Etienne has a big game. They get him going. Burrow's throwing over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns here. It's at home, Monday night. Love this contest. By the way, T. Higgins should also be back in this game. Not so sure I'd start him, though. I'd be very careful here. And if you're thinking about it, make sure you put T in the flex position so you can get him out Monday night here. And you better have a backup just in case he doesn't go. Remember, there's 2 Monday night games this week, so you'll have a lot of options there. My last one, this is the one Craig was on me about. The Giants, also, bad defense. All right. Now, I probably should have covered myself here and said Deshaun Watson will get 3 touchdowns. Maybe he runs one in rather than throws for 3. But I think this is a game at home against a bad Giants team. I think Deshaun Watson's going to throw for 3. He's going to get 3 scores. He's going to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback this week. I'm actually starting him in a Superflex league over Justin Fields. And that's not saying much. Fields hasn't done anything here. But it's more picking on the Giants than I love Deshaun Watson. I think Watson's terrible. But I think Judy maybe gets Cooper go. Amari Cooper going this week as well here. So I like Deshaun Watson to throw 3 touchdowns against the Giants this week. I think I've had a bold prediction either against the Giants or for the Giants in 3 straight weeks. I think I'm 1-1.
I think George's predictions could come true. If Deshaun Watson's come true, there's going to be more than chicken parm going through George's veins this weekend. I mean, I can't even believe that that's his prediction here on the show. All right, we have plenty more to come here on the program. It's got to be bold. It's got to be bold. I get it. It's like George not going to a Weird Al show. We'll hit on the tight end position next.